The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, it's good to know that Zanati's got a very important role in the studio, which is to allow you to deflect blame away from yourself, Howard.
Sure. Otherwise, I don't know what I would do. All right.
Exactly.
What is going on in Israel? Because, hell, this is confusing.
This is very confusing, and yet it was kind of predictable. So, you know, as we've already discussed yesterday, we're at election deadlock again, because, of course, the two leading parties are within one seat of each other, according to the latest unofficial election results. And we do have to wait a few days for the final results to be available because of the so-called double-sealed votes. Those soldiers who are voting, people voting in hospitals, people voting in prisons, and their votes get double-sealed, two envelopes, the outer envelope with a person's name on it, to make sure that it can be checked that they haven't voted elsewhere and that they're not double voting. Once those names have been checked and the outer envelope has been discarded, then the inner envelope is opened with a vote and those votes are counted. It takes a few days. It has been the case in the past that the soldiers who vote could potentially influence the final outcome by one seat one way or another. But what we have at the moment is Kahol Lavan with 33 seats, Likud with 32 seats, the Joint Arab List, very interestingly, with 12 seats, Shas showing 9 seats, Israel Beiteinu 8 seats, the United Torah Judaism Party 8, Yamin 7, Labor Gesher Alliance 6, and the Democratic Union that was put together with Meretz and with Ehud Barak, the last party in the Knesset with 5 seats. That is the current distribution, and it may well change by one seat in one direction or another, but certainly not more than that. So we have the political lie of the land, and now the speculation begins as to what will happen next. Who will form a government? Who will be invited to form a government? Who might be able to form a government? And therein, you know, all the political commentators are having an absolute field day on this. Prime Minister Netanyahu has already said that he plans to form the next government and that, you know, he would like to form a government as opposed to allowing what he's termed to be a dangerous government being put together. And by a dangerous government, he means that Kahol Lavan, if they had to put a government together, would have to rely upon the Arab List, the Joint Arab List, the Arab Party that hold 12 seats. They would have to rely on them to form part of the government. And so Netanyahu has labeled that to be a dangerous government because, of course, the anti-Zionist Arab Party will effectively be part of that government. Avigdor Lieberman of the Israel Beiteinu Party has already made it clear that he will not sit in a coalition that includes the Arab Party. So if Benny Gantz is relying upon the Arab Party to form his government, then apparently Avigdor Lieberman will not be part of that. And also Lieberman will not be part of a coalition that includes the ultra-Orthodox party. So he's made his position very, very clear all along. And even though he sounds like he might be very fussy about who he's prepared to sit with and who he's not, he has been very clear from the word go that his that he will only join a coalition that is a secular government of national unity involving Likud and Kahol Lavan. Likud and Kahol Lavan together, just the two of them, could form a government. 65 seats is enough to form the government. Yisrael Beiteinu would be prepared to join that, so we could potentially have a government of 73 seats, unheard of in Israeli history in terms of that number of seats being in a government. But Lieberman has already said that he would be prepared to support a government of national unity even if he's not invited to join the coalition. He would be prepared to become in, you know, at least to support it from the edges. So that's really where we stand at the moment. I read an interesting assessment in one of the newspapers that gave 4 scenarios for forming a government, and then they rated the scenarios to how likely they would be to happen. So the best scenario out of the 4 was considered to be moderately likely, One was considered to be impractical, one was considered to be absolutely zero, and one was considered to be unlikely. So that's kind of sums up the situation, which is that we seem to have four scenarios, none of them which seem to be particularly practical or particularly likely. But I will say just two more things, the first of which is that Prime Minister Netanyahu has indicated a willingness to negotiate with Kahol Lavan to form a government. That comes as something of a surprise, but I don't think that that's going to go anywhere. There are some people who are suggesting that what Netanyahu would really like to do would be to split Kahol Lavan and to convince Benny Gantz's side to come with him and to leave the Yair Lapid side behind, out of the government, which of course I think is a highly unlikely situation. But there are at least those who are talking about the possibility, or at least some discussions behind the scenes, of such a thing happening. So we're really in an unknown situation right now. Just a lot of speculation and, of course, political commentators having a field day.
Anthony, just to be clear on one thing, the group, is Rivlin obliged to ask the group who gets the greatest number of seats to form the coalition or to see if they can form a government? Or is there a chance given to the sitting prime minister, i.e. Netanyahu, even if he is one or two seats behind in the final outcome?
So I don't think that there is any obligation as such on the president as to who he should invite to form a government, other than from a moral, a practical point of view, that he would generally be expected to invite the person who is most likely to form the government to be the first to give it a go. And so when it comes to likelihood, he, of course, will be inviting the party leaders to indicate who they would like to support as prime minister. He will tot up the number of seats that all of those parties represent. And if there is a group, if there is one individual who has the support of more than 61 seats, it is the likely situation that he will invite that individual to try to put a government together. However, there is also this issue about who has the most seats in the Knesset. And at the moment, there happens to be Kahol Lavan, but they only have one seat advantage. And we did have a situation previously when Tzipi Livni was called upon to form a government because she, her party at that time had managed to win the most number of seats in the election. And she was unable to do so. And after that, she called upon Netanyahu to form the government. He succeeded in doing so, even though his party had less seats than the Tzipi Livni party at the time. So I don't think that there is any obligation on the prime minister to invite one individual or another to form a government. But obviously, from a practical point of view, he would like to invite the person most likely to form the government to have the first chance to do so. In the four scenarios that I read about, there was a discussion about Rivlin calling upon another Likud member of Knesset other than Prime Minister Netanyahu to form the government. That would seem to be unprecedented in Israel's history in terms of calling upon somebody who is not one of the party leaders to form a government. But that seems to be a possible scenario. And from what I've gathered, is a possibility under the law as well, that the president is not obliged. Now, one of the discussion points was, if the president calls upon, for example, Benny Gantz to form a coalition government, and after 4 weeks he fails to do so, there is a discussion which suggests that the president can roll back to the original election and say, look, I've asked Gantz to form a government, he's failed. I've asked Netanyahu to form a government already in the previous round, he's failed. Now I have the right to call on a third person, somebody who's not a party leader, to try to form a government in the interests of trying to progress this. So there is that possibility now that's entering into the political fray. And actually, some newspapers are already writing Netanyahu's obituary. His period is over. Israel is now embarking on a new path. And of course, we need to remember that in the background, while all of these things are going on, and while potential delays might be built in as a result of the inability to form a government, the Netanyahu legal hearings will be going on I think that it's only another few weeks until Prime Minister Netanyahu will be part of that first set of legal hearings, and those may well be very influential in the final analysis of who forms the government and who doesn't.
Fascinating. Netanyahu is actually not going to attend the UN summit. So, I mean, that I presume is all about the elections.
It is all about the elections. It's the first time that Prime Minister will not be addressing the United Nations General Assembly, that opens next week. It's the first time since 2010 that he is not going to the UN General Assembly to present Israel's case. In 2010, he was unable to go. And at that time, I can't remember this, to be honest, but I was reminded that he was represented by Avigdor Lieberman, who was at the time foreign minister. And of course, now, of course, his political enemy, for all intents and purposes. But we understand that current foreign minister Yisrael Katz will head off to the UN General Assembly on September the 26th to address that particular forum. So it's a week from today. And the reason, of course, is that next week on Wednesday, the president will receive the final election results, and he will then meet with the party leaders and ask one of them, or ask one of the members of Knesset, who knows who it might be, will ask somebody to form a government. And of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu has decided that it's more important for him to be in Israel at that time and to be part of that process than to be addressing the UN General Assembly, which we've noticed he very much enjoys doing. And really, when we see him at the podium of the UN General Assembly, there can be no doubt that he's very much in his comfort zone and in his element, as he has done so well to present Israel's case, with all the things that one might say about Prime Minister Netanyahu and, you know, errors that he might have made over his time in office. His presentations at the UN General Assembly and his representation of Israel on the international stage has really been something that one cannot criticize at all, because he's done it so passionately and with such great ability to present Israel's case. This time it's not going to happen. And of course, he will not then have the chance to meet with other world leaders around the edges of that summit, which he's been accustomed to doing over the years. And particularly, there was a view that he might have a chance to meet U.S. President Donald Trump. Trump, interestingly, has kind of distanced himself a little from the election results by saying that the U.S.'s relationship is with Israel and not with Netanyahu. And kind of that, it kind of sounds to me like he's distancing himself a little.
Preparing for a change.
Mm. Yeah, almost. So there won't be any meetings at the UN General Assembly this year. Yisrael Katz might well meet with one or two people. I don't think we'll hear a great deal about it. What's interesting is that the schedule on September the 26th, next Thursday, is that that will be the third and final day of the speeches that are made by world leaders, and that Israel has been scheduled to speak 12 on that day, only three speakers after the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. So that's quite an interesting way of putting together a schedule in terms of getting the two representatives, one from the Palestinian Authority and one from Israel, to speak only three slots apart. So that's probably about, I don't know, 2 hours apart from each other. Mm. But Netanyahu certainly would have done that, even though Mahmoud Abbas in recent days has made it quite clear that he and Netanyahu are not necessarily the best of friends, and that, you know, as far as the Palestinian Authority is concerned, they would like to see anybody in office except for Netanyahu. So, you know, that already has been made clear. We will, of course, watch eagerly to see how Yisrael Katz presents Israel's case at the UN General Assembly, but we can already expect that it's not going to be quite the same show as we have been used to seeing in previous years.
Anthony Rach, it is 8 o'clock. We'll speak to you on Monday morning at the same time. Now, it's interesting, because 4 days away and just about anything can happen. You have a Shabbat Shalom, a fantastic weekend, and we'll catch you on the other side.